be charged. Tom? Unisom Sleep Gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredient diphenhydramine hydrochloride.
The Mexican drug lord known as El Chapo is to be in court today in Brooklyn, New York. He's going to try to get approval to replace his lawyers as he wants to ditch his public defenders. Joaquin Guzman saying he thinks he's better off with Jeffrey Lichtman, the lawyer who successfully represented the son of mobster John Gotti. But court documents show Lichtman and his new team want assurances the government won't try to reclaim money that was set aside for legal fees as drug profit money. El Chapo's international drug trafficking trial is supposed to start in April of next year. When it comes to the financial worth of deceased icons from the world of entertainment, Elvis has certainly not left the building, as USA Radio's John Clemens explains.
As we approach the 40th anniversary of his death on Wednesday the 16th, Elvis Presley is still a hot commodity. That's the business of Marty Brockstein of the International Licensing Industry Merchandisers Association.
In 2016, according to Forbes calculations, Elvis made $27 million, and he's probably at the top of the list.
Brockstein tells us in the industry, deceased celebrities like Elvis, Michael Jackson, Prince, John Wayne, they're called delebrities. I'm John Clemens.
And Justin Thomas is this year's PGA tournament winner after shooting a final round 68 yesterday in Charlotte, the first major tournament win for Thomas. He ended 8 under par for the tourney. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Stephen Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
All right, our local weather here. Flemington, the surrounding area. Sunny high today. It's about 78 right now. High could be near the 83. Slight chance of showers maybe later. Tonight, again on Tuesday, maybe a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Slight chance, 30%. And again, Tuesday night, patchy fog after 1 a.m. Wednesday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms again in the afternoon. And continuing on into the night. Highs, it's going to warm up on Wednesday, though. Got a little back up in the high 80s. Again, on Thursday, looks like a slight chance of showers almost every day. Friday's probably the best bet from right now, unless the wind shifts, right? But clear on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Thank you.
folks. Welcome to Chef Bill's Table. Getting together on Mondays or whenever you choose to listen in on Rewind or on our podcasts. And check out conversation about food, beverages. I know this week, Pete Nercio from Black River Tea and Spice Company was supposed to be with us, but it'll be in a couple of weeks. Had to make a little change of plans here, but that's okay. Always something around. And this week, food days, food celebrations, mostly desserts. I know in the summertime, often we don't want to spend too much time baking, turning the oven on. You could do it early in the morning or do it in the evening when things cool off. But, I don't know, strawberry shortcake sounds like something that we need to do in the summertime. And shortcakes, you know, you can find those little sponges in the store and or use pound cake slices. But I'm a biscuit guy. I like biscuits. And nice big, we call them drop biscuits. Instead of rolling them out and cutting them with the cutter and then re-rolling, I mean, those are good for savory or as a bread choice, biscuits alongside a barbecue or a ham biscuit in the morning. You can make a cheese biscuit, but the big drop biscuits are great for shortcake. You've got all the ridges. It gets a lot crunchier, and you just have to pull them in half and stack up your macerated fruit and your whipped cream, and especially if the biscuit hasn't been chilled. If you bake them in the morning and serve them that night, there's nothing better. Also, some other fruits, recalling days when I worked on the farm, we grew vegetables, and the ones that we shipped to the stores, say tomatoes, for example, our number one tomatoes were not fully ripe. They were, I wouldn't say, a little better than pink, but they were still firm. Of course, you have to put them in boxes and stack them up and ship them, and then the stores would ripen them as they needed them. And what we call our number twos were the dead ripe ones that went right on our farm stand where people could buy them. And that's where you find your nice, ripest vegetables. Oftentimes, vegetables and really with fruits, too, because fruits are very fragile. They need to be shipped, especially if you see they're coming from some distance. If it's out of season, at least in the northern hemisphere where we are, you can get in the opposite season from the southern hemisphere, but you've got to go a long distance. And besides the time, you have the fragility of ripe fruit, especially, for example, apricots. You very seldom, even on the East Coast, see fresh apricots. The cost of shipping them, they're so fragile, you'd have to nestle each one in a little protective basket, I would almost imagine, or a little, sometimes there's, I remember we get Asian pears a lot of times, they're wrapped in a little cloth, little mesh, if you will, that protects them from bruising. So summer, this is, the fruits are really something, and especially stone fruits, anything coming from an orchard, it's hard to kind of grow your own. We've got little gardens, we can, strawberries, bushes, things like that, we can grow. But unless you have a tree, for figs or apples, pears, fruits like that, you've got to go near a source. And fortunately, in most areas, there are some orchards, and you can get the nice local fruit. Also, when you take things that are in season, again, hopefully they've been harvested closer to where you are. And when you're selecting fruits, let's say, what are we going to look at? Melons. There's cantaloupe and watermelon. The honeydews and some of the others are more into fall and winter. Peaches and nectarines, I think of in the summer. Berries, of course, should still be around. Those strawberries and the raspberries usually the first things out, but there should be some around. Cherries come into play now. And grapes, even though grapes are, say, for wine, harvested in the fall, there are some varieties that will ripen. Well, it's almost, August is almost over. We're almost there, right? So grapes should be appearing. Apples, wait till fall. I like that couple of cold snaps to sweeten them up a little bit. You will always, again, most things are available year-round in our markets, but are they always the best? So I'm thinking fruits in the summer. And being that we're not baking as much into pies and tarts, and or if you're cooking, making preserves, chutneys, things like that, if you happen to fall in and get a windfall and get a bunch of fruit, then it's always nice to preserve them. I know we did some blueberries this summer. We'd gotten some Jersey blueberries, and they were a little tart for eating on their own, so we just made a compote out of them and served them with a lemon mascarpone cake. Just simply a little sugar and cooked them down. And a lot of fruits, of course, have a substance in them called pectins that help thicken things up. That's why jams and jellies are usually pretty good. Plums are another good summer fruit. They have a lot of pectin in them. They make a nice jelly or a nice puree. So if you have underripe fruit, the other option is done before in the summer, especially if you're still grilling, which you should be. It's nights are beautiful right now. Is either skewer them on a kebab, or if you have one of those grill baskets that is perforated so things don't fall through, just a little bit of a light touch of heat on the grill will draw out some moisture and make the fruits soften them up if they're a little firm, and of course make them taste sweeter. You can also make a nice baste for them with a little bit of some honey and cinnamon. Warm it up, and you could brush them with that if you want a little caramelization on them. Honey, maybe a little butter in there too, a little whole butter. And we've served grilled fruits with, say, a honey-flavored yogurt. Take nice, thick yogurt. Of course, you've got a little tartness in there. And stir in some honey, maybe some cinnamon or nutmeg or mace, any of the spices that you like that would go with desserts. And you have a nice finish for a meal. And the other option, of course, with dead ripe fruit, perfectly ripe or close to perfect, a nice combination of fruits we used to do for buffets all the time, carve out a watermelon basket. And if you feel artistic, always a nice way to go. If you want to present a medley of fruit, and you can carve the top in a zigzag or in kind of a swirl, you take the top off the melon, and if you have the round melon, is nice, probably a little easier to handle. The large elongated ones are for a big crowd. What we do is place the melon. You want to take a little slice off the bottom of it so it stands, it stabilizes it. And then you cut off your top third, let's say. You could do simple zigzags, take it off, and then you want to scoop the watermelon out with there's actually a tool called a melon scoop, or you could use a small ice cream scoop if you like, and avoid the seeds if you can, and save any of that pulp that's left, though. We can do something with that. And then the watermelon becomes the container for your other fresh fruits. A little bit of what we like to do right before service with a fruit compote would be add a little bit of lemon-lime soda. A little secret there. It gives a couple little spritz there. That little bit of citrus that you like help draw a couple of juices out there. And you've got a neat little mixture there. But we'll get back to what to do with that leftover watermelon in a second. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be right back at the table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. I'm your ice cream
man, stop me when I'm bad. Pemby's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pamby's, purely delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Table, Chef Bill's table here, talking about the fruits of summer. So your watermelon basket, again, nice way to present fresh fruit and mix it up some with the peaches. We'll tell you how to prepare those, or fresh berries. Melon and berries are great. Bananas always available, and if you like to throw a few bananas in there, that's fine, just at the last minute. Especially kids like bananas, right? Just have to cut them right before you're serving them. Asian pears work well too. They said they're, you know, they ship them properly and they're crispy. They don't oxidize either. That's why I like those for platters. So the watermelon that you have left over, the with the seeds and everything, you could make a nice refreshing drink out of that, either alcoholic or not, whichever you like. Very easy to do the seeds, everything, just a fine strainer or a sieve, and just push the watermelon pulp through that to get the juice. And if you're using, say a round basket strainer, what I've found is the easiest thing is take a ladle and hold it and kind of push the fruit through with that. And then your seeds and whatever little pulp is left, you can toss, and you have your nice watermelon juice. And hopefully, if you picked a good watermelon, it's pretty naturally sweet. Now, a simple thing would be to mix that watermelon with a limeade, whether either you make your own or if you want to buy a limeade that's already done. Mix those two together. Very refreshing. Sometimes the limeade might be a little tart, and the watermelon just makes it nice and refreshing. We were serving it at Polytech last spring as one of we use it as a base for. You could make a margarita out of it or anything like that. A simple cocktail, 4 ounces of watermelon juice, 2 ounces of rum, a couple of ounces of club soda, squeeze juice of half a lime in there, and you pour that over ice, garnish it with a slice of lime. You've got a nice watermelon cocktail. As I said, you could turn it into a margarita very easily too with tequila. It would work. So, shortcake, which I really want to get into a little bit here. Most hotels that I've worked at would serve some variation of that. Strawberry shortcake. And strawberries, again, you can get them year-round. What we would do is, when you're doing a shortcake, is we like to macerate the fruit with a little bit of sugar. Now, save some fruit for garnishing the top, some whole berries. But if you're using berries, you slice them, add a little bit of sugar, depending on how sweet the berries already are. And the sugar's going to draw juices out. That's what you want. You want those fruit juices to soak into the biscuit. Right? You're not, you don't have to cook it. You don't have to thicken it. You just want that nice juice coming from the berries. So we used to do at my first restaurant a peach shortcake once the berries were done. Peaches are very good. Of course, peaches and cream. Peaches go very well like this. And you don't, again, you're not looking to cook too much in the summer maybe or cook the nice ripe fruit. So we would get peaches. Now, when you're looking for peaches, of course, there's two basic varieties. There's the Kling and the Freestone. Kling peaches are big in the canning industry. The Kling means that the pit is going to be a little difficult to get out. Canned peaches, of course, very successful canned product. The Freestone is usually what we'll find, and those we will actually, like when you're doing an avocado, if you cut it in half and then twist it, you can get the stone will be on one side. You can kind of just scoop it out, just like you do an avocado pit. But for shortcake, we like to peel the peaches. So how do we do that? It's just like tomatoes. We have some boiling water and dunk the peaches in there, depending on how ripe they are. If they're really ripe, you want to be careful. Anywhere from 10 to 30 seconds, and then land them in some cold water right away. And the skin should just rub right off. Then you can cut your slices, nice wedges, or diced, whatever you want, and get them into some super fine sugar I like to use, especially with anything cold. It dissolves faster. Bar sugar, sometimes it's called. And so you start sugaring the peaches, and really pretty, the fresh ones, of course, with that little bit of red that's left from the pit. And they probably at least an hour in the sugar, and that's actually plenty of time to make biscuits. Right, we want our shortcake biscuits. You're also going to want to have some whipped cream to dress these with. So biscuits, 400 degrees to 425. Biscuits bake at a fairly high temperature. You need a sheet pan, baking pan. So I'd say for six servings, we're going to have 2 cups of flour, a tablespoon of baking powder, a half teaspoon of salt. We're going to have about 6 tablespoons of butter, cold butter. You could cut those into bits. 3/4 of a cup of, well, most recipes call for milk. I've seen some with half and half. Of course, you've seen buttermilk one. Half and half or heavy cream even. Make these nice and rich, right? And into that 3/4 cup of cream, we're going to beat 1 egg also. Recipe that we got, first hotel I worked at, I think it was the assistant manager's mother had this thing. It was so simple and so good. So you mix your dry ingredients together, your flour, and also you need 3 tablespoons of sugar in there. You could make a savory biscuit for shortcake because you're putting the sweet fruit on top, but we like a little bit of sugar in these. So 3 tablespoons of, again, the super fine sugar. So you mix your flour, sugar, baking powder, and salt together. Mix it well. And then you're going to crumble in the butter. Now, we've done this like cutting it in for a pie crust. You could use 2 knives, kind of in a scissor motion. You could crumble it with your hands if you work very quickly. You don't want to make it into a solid mass yet. You want it just crumbly. Food processor works well, pulsing it. You want to have the butter cold. Some biscuit recipes call for shortening or a mixture, but we want the butter in these. These are for dessert. They're not for serving as a bread. We want these to be like a nice pastry, right? So you have your flour, your dry ingredients together, toss in the cream with the egg in it, and you just want to mix it enough so it stays together. You're not going to have to knead these. You're not going to roll them out. It should be like a stiff batter, and you're going to drop these onto a greased tray. So this batch, if you want six nice big biscuits, and they're going to be nice mounds, they will, you know, fluff up a little bit with the baking powder in there. But you want all these ridges and cracks and all that, an uneven surface is going to get nice and crispy. So 15 minutes or so in the 400-degree oven, and when they come out, if you want to brush them with some melted butter or some egg wash, but you don't have to. That's all. They're rich enough. I don't think you need to brush them with anything. And then these biscuits, of course, you would just not with a knife, just kind of pull them apart in the two halves. So the bottom biscuit, we put our fruit and some of the juices on. Put the top half on. I always like to spoon a little bit more juice on there, and then the whipped cream, and garnish with a nice piece of the fruit you're using. Now, with peaches, you could also use nectarines. Most of your peach recipes, nectarines will work fine. Nectarines are just kind of a fuzzless peach, if you will. Maybe a little bit easier to use. So if you can't find good peaches, nectarines will do fine. When you're looking at peaches, they want a nice yellow background on the skin. You can ripen them at room temperature, and the best way is, of course, in a brown paper bag. Put a banana in there, or even an apple if you have one. Bananas are always around. They'll throw off the ethylene gas, and that will help ripen the peaches. And then you can just check them. So depending on the firmness of the ones, I know the produce managers don't like people squeezing and pinching everything, so you kind of pick your fruit looking for appearance. You don't want anything too wrinkly. And with a lot of fruits, you know, you follow your nose, right? You get some aromas out of them, especially melons. Another simple dish with peaches and peach melba, you've probably heard of. And usually they would be made with poached peaches, but of course in the summer when they're nice and ripe, just nice sweet peaches would be good. Of course, you're going to need ice cream for this. And simply peel the peaches. You're going to cut them in half, take out the center. Now you can slice the peaches and put them on the ice cream. Or you could have the ice cream in the dish first and put a nice peach half on top, and then get a raspberry sauce. Now, the raspberry sauce, you don't want it to be one of those cooked purees. I think we can make a fresh one. There should be still some raspberries around. You could use frozen ones or fresh for this. But 2 cups of raspberries and 1/4 cup of sugar, depending on the sweetness. And you're just going to crush these, and we're going to puree them. If you're using fresh raspberries, you might let them sit with the sugar a little bit, get some of that juice out of there. Really, that's what you want. So you're going to puree them, strain them. You don't want the seeds in there. That's the one thing, raspberries do have a lot of seeds. You have this raspberry juice, and then add either a teaspoon of lemon juice or a tablespoon of orange juice. And you could even add a little bit of liqueur in there. It could be orange, could be cherry liqueur. And you'll have a nice fresh raspberry sauce to put on your peach melba. We've got a break for news. And then we'll be back and look at a couple of other summer fruits at Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It was a good statement delivered just a few hours after the event.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions defending President Trump's initial statement about the violence in Charlottesville, Virginia over the weekend when hundreds of white nationalists converged to protest the removal of Confederate statues. Sessions says President Trump will be back in Washington for a while today, where that issue is again going to be discussed.
On NBC's Today Show, Sessions was asked if the president intends to explicitly condemned alt-right and white nationalist groups who rallied in Virginia.
He will be speaking to the people today. I'm not sure what he'll say. That's my understanding. And he's been firm on this from the beginning.
And the 20-year-old Ohio man accused of murder by driving his car into a crowd of counter-protesters is making his first court appearance this morning.
That's correspondent Sharon Reed, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
The key to success? Keep it simple, especially when it comes to hiring the right people for your growing business. That means finding the right candidates with a powerful suite of tools. Tools that are easy to use and get the job done quickly. And nobody makes it easier than Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes. Simple. Set up screener questions to help you find more qualified candidates. Simple. Review applicants, take notes, and schedule interviews from a user-friendly dashboard on your phone, tablet, or desktop. Simple. Indeed is hiring made simple. And simple works. An independent study proves 5 times more hires are made through Indeed than any other job site. More hires than the rest combined. And right now we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job, boosting your listing and relevant search results and helping you find qualified candidates faster. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Back at the table here, back at Chef Phil's table at 100inchamberradio.com. So fruits, something else along the dessert line, naturally the fruit, if you don't want to turn the oven on, the sabayon is always nice, that nice Italian custard, or French call it sabayon with an S. And you can even make it into kind of a cream. It's usually served warm, often done tableside. It's a simple wine custard. Pretty much use proportions on this. So if you have three, it's egg yolks and sugar and then some kind of either wine or liqueur. So say if you have you got 6 peaches peeled and sliced, right? You want to, instead of ice cream, you want to make the sabayon. We'll make a sabayon cream. So I have 3 egg yolks, 3 tablespoons of refined sugar, and 3 tablespoons of dry marsala, or sweet if you want a little sweeter. And then you're going to whip a cup of heavy cream. Keep it nice and cold. So over a double boiler, we're going to whisk the egg yolks and sugar till they start to warm up. Add your marsala. And you're going to keep whisking, and this is going to grow. It's going to increase in volume and get very, very light. Now, you don't want to cook it too long to scramble the eggs. It's kind of like starting a hollandaise. But you're whisking this constantly. You want to get the air in there. The yolks will change when you've got that little bit of heat and the cream to it. And you'll end up with something. Should be, if you dip a wooden spoon into it or a spoon and draw your finger across the back of the spoon, the line should stay there. That's how you tell the thickness of it. Other times, especially if I'm doing a larger batch, I will, if I think it's done, I'll take it off the fire, let it sit for a few minutes, and then make sure that all the yolks are cooked. And this is whether I'm doing a sabayon or a hollandaise. You kind of take your spoon or whisk through it and make sure at the bottom of the bowl that there's not a little bit of uncooked yolk there. Want that guarantee, especially, again, if you're doing a large batch. You don't want to overdo it, but if you need to put it back on the fire, or back over the double boiler, rather, and cook it some more, then you can. But once the eggs scramble, you can't even strain them out of there. It's not going to taste terrible, but the appearance is not really going to be there. So now you have your sabayon, and oftentimes, again, your Italian restaurants, or even French, if you're serving a dessert this way. You'll have the berries, and the berries may be macerated in Grand Marnier or balsamic vinegar or whatever, and then you'll spoon this albion over top. Another way, though, is to cool the sauvignon, and we can do this rapidly over a bowl of ice. You have your bowl that you've made the sauvignon in, and you whisk it over an ice bath and bring it down to a cool temperature. It'll thicken up a little bit, and then we fold in that whipped cream that we have set aside. And folding it in, what we do is we'll put a little bit of the sauvignon into the cream, maybe about a third of it in there, and we'll fold that to make sure it's all homogeneous. And then we take that cream and put it back in the rest of the custard mix and finish folding it. And that's the technique you use when you're folding. You don't add one right to the other in entirety. You've got to kind of get the textures of the two a little more even. So you always, if you're doing egg whites, you're doing whipped cream, always put a little of your liquidier substance, for lack of a better word, into that to kind of soften up the whipped product and then combine it back in. That's the best way to fold in. So then you have your nice fruit with your sauvignon cream. Now, I used to make a frozen mousse like this with sauvignon. If you don't have an ice cream machine, it's one of the ways you could serve a nice, of course, it's kind of a custard. It's like more like a French-style ice cream. But you have this sauvignon mixed with the cream, and we used to put it in champagne saucers or dishes and freeze it. Or you could freeze it in bulk and then scoop it. Same with the chocolate mousse. If you don't have an ice cream machine, we used to make tortoni out of just heavy cream and sugar and some of the almond, the macaroons. And when you think about it, when you're making ice cream, you're taking cream base and milk and sugar. If it's French style, of course, then you're making a custard. And you're churning it, and in churning it, of course, you're freezing it without the crystals, but you're also incorporating air. We call that the overrun. So to me, you have a frozen mousse. If you don't have an ice cream machine, it's a nice way to get something similar, and you don't have to invest in the machine. Plus, they never seem to make enough anyway, right? We remember making ice cream as a kid one time. My father got the hand crank thing. He got the rock salt and the ice and cranking away. And all right, we did that once. That was, I think you burn more calories making the ice cream than you get from eating it, but maybe that was the whole idea. Now, another thing we can do with these summer fruits, of course, is our salsas. And salsa, nice accompaniment to grilled foods, roasted foods, even sautéed. And if you think about it, the other, we call them the fruit vegetables. They're in season now, right? You get your eggplants, you've got zucchini or cucumbers, avocados, peppers, tomatoes. All these are botanically a fruit. Even olives coming into play, right? But your a combination with some of these and some fruits, you could make nice accompaniments to, again, if you're grilling fish is very good, especially swordfish or shark. You could do tuna, grilling chicken, probably your lighter meats. Chicken is good. Even a fruit salsa would work very well with pork. Chicken, of course, chicken and plum is a classic. Roast chicken, and you roast some plums along with the roasted chicken. You could do it with even sautéed chicken breasts. So if you have fruit, again, if you have either some left or maybe you got some fruit out, it's a little bit underripe or it's a little firm, or I want to taste this. There's always combinations. If you're sautéing chicken or fish, flour it and sauté it in your canola oil or your clarified butter, whichever you prefer. And you have your fruit that you're going to use. Now, plum is great. Plum goes well. Again, you can roast these with the chicken. And what I'd like to do is sprinkle maybe with a little bit of honey and balsamic vinegar. I would have some sliced shallots or some diced red onion in there with them, too. The onion goes well. And the thing with the plums, when you cook them, they do get a little bit more tart. That's why you need that honey there. But actually, it lends itself well to savory dishes for that reason. You've got, instead of doing citrus with your chicken, you're doing the plums. And chicken and plum, of course, with the Chinese cooking, we have the plum sauce that's made, of course, sugared up there. But I think with the fresh plums, you get a nice flavor and a little bit different, not so much sugar in there. Another thing that I've done, I've used honeydew melon. Again, it's hard to find really ripe honeydews. Once in a while, you get lucky. And this, they're around in the summer, but, you know, they're usually not a whole lot of flavor. But you can still coax some flavor out by cooking them. And again, with chicken, with one of the more flavorful fish, swordfish or mako, with a saute. We've all done piccata style with the capers. Well, what I've done with this, you can add your honeydew after your fish or chicken is cooked. Take the pan and saute some cubes or thin slices of honeydew melon. And then your caper sauce, make it with lime instead of lemon. And you've got, you know, something a little bit different to put on your seafood or your chicken. The grapes, of course, Veronique, classic recipe. And that comes with the heavy cream. And, of course, you know, fancy places years ago we used to have to peel the grapes, but I don't think you're going to have to go into that. But again, you're sautéing your protein and then adding the grapes, some white wine, and if you want to finish with a little heavy cream, very nice, very good dish with the green grapes. I remember one time at Lake Placid Club, we had it on the menu for, you know, a lot of people, and the chef got the grapes in. And we didn't have to peel them, but we had to cut them in half. Problem was, we go to cut the grapes in half. He did not get seedless grapes. Something got messed up on the order. They all had seeds in them. So I don't know what's worse, having to peel a grape or having to pull the seeds out. But we had to sit there with about a gallon of halved grapes. And Second Cook and I had to get all the seeds out of them. Because we want the halves. We didn't want a puree, so we couldn't just strain them. We had to pull all the seeds out. So that also means pay attention to what you're buying, right? Lesson learned early on. So if you're making a salsa with any of these, with peaches or melons, even pineapple, your plums, what you'll do is use those fruits instead of the tomatoes. You still have your onion, you still have your jalapenos or any peppers you like that are going to go in there. If you need a little bit of liquid in salsa, I always like to use a little bit of light beer or even a Corona if you like, if you want to keep it a little more authentic. A little splash of beer in there, put some liquid in there, some flavor. You don't want anything too crazy. But that'll give you a little bit of liquid in your salsa if you happen to need it. Takes on well with the cilantro, other herbs that you're putting in there. And again, instead of tomatoes, try some fruit, especially with seafood. It's there's enough, you know, sweet and tartness in the fruits to stand up to the heat of the peppers. If you want to cream, you know, make it a little creamier, of course, some people like to dice avocado in there into a salsa. So any of those methods would work with your summer fruits, either instead of or in a combination with your vegetable fruits. We got a break for a couple of messages, and we'll be back at the table.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off a Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Back at the table, winding down again. Our summer fruits. So, melons, a little hint when you're looking for melons, they don't really ripen once they're harvested. So you want to really, again, follow your nose. If you're near some ripe melons, you know the melons, especially cantaloupe, the aroma takes over. Even if it's in your refrigerator, you might have to put them in a plastic bag, because it's just like some ripe, you know, nice ripe strawberries. The really, really strong aroma. So the cantaloupes, it's a family, they're called the netted melons, or I think the Persian melon is part of that family. French, apparently, their cantaloupes there are much smaller, really nice. We don't get them much over here, but really look for not to be too mushy with the stem end. That's where I'll usually smell, if I can, see if I can smell some of the cantaloupe there. If the stem looks like it's been cut, it's probably not ripe. If it looks like the stem was just pulled away, that's what happens when the fruit's ripe. It separates easily from the stem. Like pineapple, you want to check if pineapple's ripe. Pull one of the leaves. If a leaf at the top there pulls out easily, then the pineapple is ripe. although, again, using pineapples, you can smell. Grapes usually have good sugar content. I guess the best way to tell, of course, is taste one. You can sneak one grape there, but if not, I think never had too many issues with grapes. You know, when they're harvesting them, they're ripe. Again, we'll look for the Thompson seedless in the summertime. That's the common one. And a red, a flame seedless. Again, towards fall, you'll see more varieties there. But the seedless red or white, always good, again, as just hand fruit, what we call just eating along with as a snack. Of course, grapes will become raisins for the wintertime when we use the dried fruits. But one of the better things to do with fruits, and you've got a summer meal, and again, this is not going to involve a lot of cooking. It's more of the purchasing. But if you're near a good deli or somebody that's making what we call charcuterie, your cured meats or smoked meats, I mean, you could do something as simple as a chilled ham. And if you get a smoked ham, glaze it, bake it yourself. I like to bake them with ginger ale and a little water. Puts a nice perfume into the ham. Or some people like to use a little bit of beer. Depending. To me, the ginger ale works well. The ginger goes well with the smoked pork. And let it chill down, and you'll serve thin slices, or if you choose to get some prosciutto, some nice sliced prosciutto, any of the nice cured meats will make a great lunch or even a nice summer supper. Of course, good bread, good cheeses. Have a nice variety of cheeses between your hard cheese, your soft cheese, semi-soft. We like Fontina, we like Asiago, the Italian cheese, but break them up, you know, a little, you know, from different countries, too. Our Jack cheese, Monterey Jack, of course, you're all familiar with the melting one, but Colby Jack is a nice little simple combination if somebody's not too crazy about or adventurous with cheeses. But your Sonoma Dry Jacks are very good, and some of those will rival our Parmesan Reggiano as far as the flavor, crumbling, the nice grated or melting cheese call it an American Alfredo, I guess, right? But the Dry Jack, and many of them have some flavors in them, too. But simply charcuterie cheese, you know, being in New Jersey here, of course, some of the Pepperdew peppers would be nice on there, a little bit of vinegar pepper. Or if you've got some roasted peppers, you could do a nice platter of some roasted peppers, and you got sliced tomatoes right now, grilled onion, maybe a platter of grilled vegetables, eggplant, zucchini, anything like that goes well on the grill. Get them as soon as they're off the grill. We like to hit them with a little bit of balsamic vinaigrette and let them come to room temperature. Have some nice fruits. Again, with the charcuterie, I always like Asian pear is good because it doesn't oxidize. Melon and prosciutto, classic combination. The cantaloupe especially. Grapes, obviously, right now. And even some nectarines, plums, peaches, anything. Peaches, I'd probably use nectarines or plums instead. Nice sweet ones, and really have a nice light supper with some nice bread. And then you think about it, these summer fruits, a lot of these flavors you find in white wines. And so if you're having a cheese platter, many times a cheese course would follow, and a classic meal progression would follow your main course or be served in conjunction with or after a salad. And the red wine may continue on into that. And there's not a lot of great matches with cheese and red wine. White wine seems to be a much better match. When you think about the flavors in, say, Riesling, Chardonnays, Sauvignon Blancs, there's herb flavors in the Sauvignon Blanc. But the whites, you'll get aromas of melons and peaches and pears, you know, your lighter fruits, pineapple. Whereas your red wines, you get more of the dark fruits, berries, cherries, and then dried fruits. That's what seems to happen. So the reds may go better with, I guess classically, you know, a blue cheese, a strong cheese like that. But your other fresher cheeses would go better with white wines. Or if you're not having wine, any of these fruits, you think of these fruit flavors, are all in the white wine grapes. That's why they go so well together. So one last, can't forget our watermelon and feta salad. Speaking of fruit and cheese combination, we start that usually at the restaurant. Before the tomatoes come in, we like to do the watermelon salad. Usually you can find some watermelons earlier on. So it's watermelon and feta. Feta is the Greek cheese, kind of in a brine, nice and salty. So my wife asked me that. She goes, "You ever heard people put salt on watermelon?" I said, "Well, we serve it with feta cheese. I mean, what's saltier than that, right?" Nice fruit and cheese salad. We have cubed watermelon. We buy the seedless. And then you have crumbled feta. We put in some fresh mint, a little bit of fine diced red onion. We'll use either grape or cocktail tomatoes. Cut them in half so the juices come out a little bit. And some arugula for bitterness. You've got this combination here tossed together. And really simply, you just need to sprinkle maybe a little bit of good red wine vinegar over it. And you have a great salad. You know, you've got a little bit of greens in there, too, but it's basically like a nice fruit and cheese. And you can use a lot of watermelon. We use a couple of cups per order. I mean, it's a big salad, but it's watermelon, right? It's not going to really fill you up that much. We've got a split now. Hit the road. The hour's over. And probably be on Rewind next week or on podcast. I've got to kind of fill in at the restaurant a little bit. We got vacation time, so we'll get back together live in a couple of weeks. Meantime, explore the archives. There's always, I guess, always something to talk about with food, right? Chef Bill signing off. Talk to you next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It was a good statement delivered just a few hours after the event.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions defending President Trump's initial statement about the violence in Charlottesville, Virginia over the weekend when hundreds of white nationalists converged to protest the removal of Confederate statues. Sessions says President Trump will be back in Washington for a while today, where that issue is again going to be discussed.
On NBC's Today Show, Sessions was asked if the president intends to explicitly condemn alt-right and white nationalist groups who rallied in Virginia.
He will be speaking to the people today. I'm not sure what he'll say. That's my understanding. And he's been firm on this from the beginning.
And the 20-year-old Ohio man accused of murder by driving his car into a crowd of counter-protesters is making his first court appearance this morning.
That's correspondent Sharon Reed. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Colonel Sanders from KFC here to talk about the good old days. Well, the good old days are still here in chicken form, specifically in KFC's original recipe fried chicken with 11 herbs and spices. Our delicious chicken is still hand-breaded and pressure-fried just like it was then. Get your fill with two pieces of my original recipe in a $5 fill-up with mashed potatoes, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink at a KFC near you. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. At participating KFCs, prices may vary. Tax extra.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack.